Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show, the program, the party. It's me, Bill. It's him, Harry. I know usually it's Wendy and myself. Wendy's taking a day off. She will be back tomorrow. But filling in for my partner, Wendy Snyder, is my pal, Harry Tynowitz. Hi, Harry. How are you?
I'm good. You can call me Wendy all day.
I may, actually, a couple times. I may slip and refer to you as Wendy.
You know, my son was going to school today, Reggie, who's 12, and I confused him. He goes, "What are you doing, Dad? Why are you up? Not just why are you up so early. Why are you up?"
Yes.
And I said, "Because I'm filling in for Wendy today, and that's my wife's name."
Oh.
He got very confused.
Sure.
He's like, "So you're just going to yell at yourself?"
Eliminate the middleman.
Right.
It's better for everybody.
Save time.
Saves time, saves energy. Yeah. Why not? Thank you for doing this today. Great to have you. You and I wrote in together, and it's the longest conversation I've had with anybody in 3 days where no one mentioned The Bachelor. It was really nice to talk to somebody for more than 3 minutes without somebody going, "Can you believe what's going on The Bachelor?
I can't believe it."
Shocking.
He broke up with her after he proposed to her, and then they put her in the middle seat.
Yeah.
No, you know, there was actually a player on the Marlins about 20 years ago named Rich Bachelor. And, like, what person wouldn't want to meet a rich bachelor? But
right.
that's the only bachelor.
Perfectly named.
That's the only bachelor I would talk to you about.
You already knew the guy who was the bachelor because he's from the world of sports.
Yeah, Ari Leyendijk.
Yeah, Junior. Yeah,
Junior.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, his dad, the one time I went to the Indy, I prefer horse racing to car racing.
Yes.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah.
But the one time I went to the Indy 500 was Ari Leyendijk's victory. And I just remember he was number 20.
So what goes on, now I've never seen The Bachelor, so I only know what I read in the funny papers. So what goes on is they choose a good-looking guy or a girl if it's The Bachelorette, and they put them around 15 or 20 potential mates.
50.
50?
Yeah.
Is it really 50?
No, it's like 26.
All right.
And this season, four of them were named Lauren.
Oh, they were? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And 12 of them, for some reason, were Doug.
I wonder why. I don't know why. All right. So then eventually they choose somebody that they will spend the rest of their life with. They will live happily ever after with.
Sure.
And then 6 months or 8 months later, or in this case, I guess just a month later, they come to their senses and they go, "Well, that's not the real way to meet the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with." And they rescind the whole thing. So then people who watch the whole season, do they then realize they've wasted their time or do they not?
Didn't they know that when they started?
They must have known it when they started, Steve. They had to have.
I know every season that I'm going to waste my time.
Why,
and
Jen? Why?
I don't know. It's like drugs.
It's worse than
Once
drugs.
You start, you can't stop.
It's worse.
And so I really haven't watched The Bachelor, but do you guys remember a show, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the guy wasn't a millionaire.
Yes.
He was a stand-up comic.
Was he a stand-up comic?
Yeah.
Oh,
I had worked with that guy once.
Garbage man or something.
The very first one, and I can't remember the guy's name, but
Joey Bishop.
It was not Joey Bishop. I would have loved it if it was Joey Bishop. So they kept showing the promos for it, but you didn't see the guy. And then when they showed the guy, I went, "I worked with that guy. I did stand up with that guy. He's not a millionaire. He's a hundredaire. Who wants to marry a hundredaire?"
It was great. He just had all these women like were in this castle. And he goes, "This is my house."
Yeah.
"Oh, you have a great house."
Yeah. I will say this, and please believe me, I am not bashing my wife because you know that that's not in my best interest.
No.
Why would I do that?
No. You're stupid.
As much as I love Terry, the one thing that I would change about her, if there was one thing I could change about her, is she's addicted to all the Real Housewives shows. She just loves those shows. And it's so not like her. You know her. That's not like her at all. Those women are so mean to each other. And then when they're done being mean, they have a show where they all sit down with Andy Cohen. And then they're mean to each other again. They explain why they were mean to each other, and they continue to be mean to each other.
Not a fan of those shows. Oh, The Real Housewives of Midlothian?
That would be a good show. That would be a fun show.
Terry's a trendsetter, not a follower.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, what's she doing?
There are shows that I watch that she goes, why are you watching this? But I would say
like
to you.
Like Dora?
Well, I love Dora the Explorer. You get to see the world when you watch Dora the Explorer, Harry. I watch Walking Dead every Sunday. The people on Real Housewives of Atlanta are meaner to each other than they are on The Walking Dead. They're way meaner to each other. There's less carnage on The Walking Dead than on The Real Housewives.
They have no agenda on The Walking Dead.
Zero.
Yeah.
They just want brains.
That's it.
What's wrong with that? All right, we do have a very full show. Have I mentioned the fact that Gilbert Gottfried will be by in just a little bit? You've never met Gilbert.
No, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Harry, I love him so much.
Very,
he's so
very,
funny.
Very funny comedian. He's funny every time I watch him, and I bet I'll be the first person that ever tells him, boy, my kids have watched Aladdin 7,000 times. He probably never hears
the voice of Iago the bird.
Yes.
In Aladdin. I also told you, and we'll bring this up when he gets here, he has been the subject of my two favorite documentaries of the last 2 years. This year, there's a documentary about him called Gilbert that's fantastic. And last year, there was a documentary called Life Animated about a boy who could only communicate through Disney characters. He had a certain kind of autism where his family just couldn't reach him until they realized, they made the strange realization that he will communicate, but only through Disney characters, because he would watch the videos of the movies over and over and over again. So that became his reality. Gilbert is in that as well.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It makes me like him even more.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll be buying a little bit, and then there's other things. It's International Women's Day.
Yes,
Harry's
it
got
is.
A great idea of how to celebrate. We'll explain more as the show goes on. So stick around. Big day today. It's Bill Leff and Harry Tynowitz in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy Snyder, who will be back tomorrow. Harry, please explain the meaning of why we're playing Dennis DeYoung's Lady.
Because Dennis DeYoung is a Chicagoan.
That's it.
Because it's International Women's Day, and we recognize women every day, but today there's a hashtag in front of the recognition, and so every song we come back with, and except when Bill has prepared something wonderful for
a
Gilbert
wacky
Gottfried.
Comedy song bit later.
Right. Yep. But other than that, we'll be coming back with songs for ladies.
It's the least we can do, Harry.
Mm-hmm. It's the least we can do.
Think about all the women and all that they've done for you. This is the smallest payback we could possibly give them, and so we will.
Yes, absolutely. And from my mom to other friends' moms to
your mom was a woman, and
yes,
most of
was.
Your friends' moms were women.
Most of them.
Yep.
You didn't. Yeah. You never met.
You didn't have
Evan's
to go into specifics.
Mom.
That's okay. Fine. That's fine. The text lines are open. The phone lines are open. They're 312-981-7200. This is an interesting one. Tell me what you think about this. It says, guys, you have to realize The Bachelor is basically a game show set in a brothel.
In a brothel?
Interesting.
In a brothel?
Well,
maybe I should start watching.
When you think about it, hear me out. Because
yes.
Even in my own head, I'm going, this is going to be a tough putt, but I'm going to try to make it.
Mm-hmm.
There is some level of prostitution to this show. Isn't there?
There's every show there's prostitution. I mean, look at the scripts people take.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would gladly take one as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Bachelor, I can't believe that like the 26 women on there all sit there and go, oh God, he's perfect. I want to be with him.
Right.
And they, you know, they're not playing to their strengths. They're
right.
All playing sort of the Barbie doll role, the I'm going to be the perfect woman in your eyes role.
Right.
They're not like, I'm sure if you met any one of them, they wouldn't be anything like that.
You have a daughter in high school.
If your
daughter was to say to you in the next couple of years, hey, Dad, some great news. They've chosen me to be a contestant. I'm going to be one of the girls vying to win the affections of The Bachelor. Your reaction would be what?
My reaction would be, God bless you,
yeah.
And I didn't realize that the show was going off the air.
Oh.
I'd be great. I mean, I'd be excited for...
You'd be okay with that?
Yeah.
You wouldn't try to talk her out of it? Because if either of my daughters came to me and said that, I would try my best to talk them out of
it. It's an opportunity for the... You know, these women are doing this for a couple reasons, but, you know, it's... look, it's a chance to be on the air on network television.
But isn't
I don't fault them for that.
Isn't it kind of weird... That even if you're one of the contestants, you're one of the bachelorettes hoping to be chosen, you know that whoever the bachelor is, he's sleeping around with all the different girls and scoring points, and that counts toward their total. Isn't that kind of just a little... That is, right, Jen? It's a little strange.
Yeah, and thanks, you know, for putting it into perspective, guys, because, you know, now it is definitely ruined.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin it.
That's okay. But Grandma DeSalvo told me a long time ago, don't chase boys, let them chase you.
Oh, solid advice from Grandma DeSalvo.
Right? So, I mean, I don't have a daughter, but if I did, that's what I'd tell her.
But you wouldn't be thrilled if you had... This is a hypothetical daughter situation. If you had one and she said, Mom and Grandma DeSalvo, I've been chosen to be on the... I'm going to be on the new season of The Bachelor. I'm going to be one of the girls. Wouldn't you go, I'd prefer... I've been watching the show for years. I'd prefer that you didn't.
Yeah, I probably, yeah. I mean, well, I'm not too far displaced, so to think about a child is one thing. But like, if my sister said it,
yeah,
yeah, I.
It would be tough, wouldn't it?
It would.
But again, Jen, Bill, let's say that your daughter was an actress, or your daughter was, you know, some type of, you know, whatever she was doing, this would boost her Q rating.
Right.
This would give people a chance to say, hey, she's pretty funny. I mean, think, you know, if pick anybody off Saturday Night Live, Leslie Jones.
Okay.
If she were on that show, The Bachelor, she would be very noticeable, and someone will go, hey, you know what? This show is stupid, but she's very good. We need to involve her in something else. I think it's an opportunity for these women.
From a profile standpoint, from a business standpoint of getting your name and your face out there, that's the plus. But then the trade-off is you're going through with something that you know is almost doomed to fail. And I know people will go, yeah, but the divorce rate is 50% anyway. So you're almost playing into that regardless. But I really think that most people go into the show not really expect. I hate to spoiler alert. Most of the people who get involved in the show know that it's probably not going to last forever, that it's a fairy tale, right? Don't they?
Yes. And I think I only see the show when the late night talk show hosts play the clips.
They do the highlights. Yeah.
Right. Kimmel will play a lot of it because it's on ABC.
Yeah.
And like, they involve the family. She takes them home to meet mom and dad. So her, the contestant, you know, going on the show and saying, oh, yes, I've always wanted to live on a farm in Iowa and muck the horse stalls at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but then they bring them home and they want their parents to lie as well.
Yeah.
And I always wonder if those are their real houses, because they really find a lot of rich women if that's the case.
Oh.
Because they always go home to nice houses.
They live in nice places, yeah.
Their family looks perfect.
Are they ever little houses? Are they ever pink houses?
I don't.
You're thinking of a song here. That's not a TV show at all.
Yeah. You never see a small house. So
Jen, when this twist happened on this last Bachelor, and look, I've fallen into the trap because now I'm talking about it. When this twist happened the other night, was it a jaw dropper? Were you watching just going, no, this isn't how The Bachelor's supposed to be? You pick somebody and you stick with them. You don't switch. What happened there?
Yeah, I was trying to put my feet in the shoes of Lauren, the person that he ended up choosing second.
Yeah.
Because how can you ever trust him after that? Like,
is he going
to do this to me?
Right.
He's so flighty that he just decides that I'm going to end an engagement because I want something else.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most real life part of that show. There are so many women, and it works both ways. I know several guys who cheated on, you know, their wives and ended up marrying someone who knew that they had cheated on their wives.
Yeah.
But
when they were
this
dating,
wouldn't happen
with
to me.
Right.
This is the old him.
So, I mean, that happens in real life. I don't think these women are that, you know,
naive.
I think that they're obviously, you know, showing a side of them that isn't themselves. But I think that happens in real life both ways.
Oh, probably. Probably. But so this won't tarnish your experience, Jen, in the future, like when the next season of The Bachelor starts, I think tomorrow, right? Isn't this the new season starting tomorrow? When the new season starts, this won't tarnish it. You won't go, oh, I can't watch this show. It's a sham that they choose a winner, then they shift gears. You won't do that, would you?
Well, now they have the cliffhanger because the woman that got jilted and broke up with the first choice is The Bachelorette.
So she gets a show out of this.
Oh, yeah. And she gets to choose from those 26 men. So, of course, in May, I'm going to be like, yeah, go Becca. Find love.
And Jen, have Todd and Stephanie talked to you about being a contestant on the show they're doing here, The Intern Bachelor?
Oh, you should do that.
No.
That'd
is this real?
For you.
Oh, yeah. Intern Bachelor.
Huh.
It's starting in the fall. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Just consider it.
I'm so gullible.
And Amorosa's on all these shows, or am I thinking of something else?
No, everyone.
She's
on
all of them.
Yeah, she is.
All right. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you're listening. It's Harry. It's myself. Wendy's taking the day off. She'll be back tomorrow. In a little bit, you'll get some news. Steve will give you the news, and then we'll see Gilbert Gottfried. I can't wait. It's Bill and Harry on WGN.
We're so sorry, Uncle
Gil.
We're so sorry if we caused you.
Gil.
That's right. Gilbert Gottfried is here. The one and only Gilbert Gottfried. He's performing at Zany's tonight and through the weekend. Tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Zany's.com has your ticket information. It's so good to see you. I get so excited when I know you're coming on. Gilbert, how are things? Everything good?
Yes. Oh, so thrilling.
It is thrilling.
You know, now here, I'm going to start it off on a completely boring note.
What is that?
Where we'll have to dig our way
up
out of this.
Okay.
This is where, you know, you start out like with your weakest joke.
Right.
And then it's a challenge.
Sure,
to get
them
the audience back.
That's fine.
So I'll lose them with this.
Yes.
Listening to that song,
yes.
We're So Sorry, Uncle Albert.
Yes.
I did an episode of Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
And the episode was called We're So Sorry, Uncle Earl.
Oh.
About her Uncle Earl.
Oh.
Yeah, see, so I told you. Now we're going to have to spend the rest of our show
trying to just get back to ground level.
Yeah, just trying to get people to turn back to this station.
But there was a time where you and Hannah Montana were considered to be the comedy duo. Everyone in show business was talking about you guys.
We were like Burns and Allen.
Right. A thinking man, Stiller and Mira, people were calling you guys.
Yeah, we were Burns and Allen, and I go, Hannah, your uncle is in town, right?
Do you remember, Gilbert, he was scheduled to perform, George Burns was supposed to perform.
At 100.
On his 100th birthday.
Yeah, he made it to 100,
but
dropped dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was not in any shape to perform on his 100th birthday, as
no,
it turned out.
No.
Right.
Well, someone shouldn't have asked him what year he was born.
That's the problem.
Just went into overload.
That was the problem. Could you do stand-up when you're 100? Is that even a possibility?
I can't do it now. Okay. I always say this, and it's true. My fantasy, right before I go up on stage, is that the manager will come back and uncomfortably say, oh, we had a fire or a flood, and so we no show tonight.
Yeah.
Here's your check. We got you booked on the next plane out. Okay, great.
That's easy.
Gilbert, you're naturally funny. You, just to sit and visit with you, you're chatting before we came on the air, and you're very funny. Did you, when you were first starting, did you ever have a problem that a lot of comics have to try to be as funny on stage as you were off stage?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's like, when you first start doing comedy, there's that weird thing like, you know you want to make a joke.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what a joke is necessarily. So you start thinking of like, apples rhymes with Snapple. That's kind of funny.
That's funny. Do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes when you're eating a hamburger, you'll get some ketchup that falls on your shirt.
Close with that.
That could be my big opener.
If there's video of that, there's some guy in Ohio doing it tonight.
Somebody will definitely do it. I know from seeing the documentary, and I want to talk to you about this documentary, Gilbert, because I think it's fantastic, but it really shows your early influences, and one of them was Groucho Marx. As a young boy, you loved Groucho Marx.
Oh, yeah. The documentary is called Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's on Hulu and Amazon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, Groucho, I mean, back then on TV, there were all the old movies.
Right.
Constantly.
Right.
You know, you'd see one channel would have monster movies,
mm-hmm.
the other would have the gangster movies and everything. And I fell in love with the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
And then I remember Groucho started to come back.
Yes.
It's like he hadn't been around for a while.
He'd show up on Dick Cavett a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Dick Cavett, he would pop up
on. Yeah.
And
Hollywood Squares sometimes,
oh, yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I was used to you know, the Groucho from Duck Soup. And
fast-paced.
Yeah. Yeah, loud and constant, like, you know, a million words a minute.
Yeah.
And then he'd pop up with Dick Cavett. And all of a sudden, you saw this really frail guy with a little white mustache.
Golf cap.
Yeah, golf cap a turtleneck. And he was like just kind of had that kind of palsy that old people get where they start shaking.
Yeah.
And the stories would no longer be quick one-liners. Now the stories would go on forever where you'd be going, oh, just, I don't expect this to be funny. Just please get through the sentence and I'll be happy. And so it would be like,
well, we worked in the theater back then, and the theater was something that had a stage, and people would sit in the audience. The audience back in my day were people watching a show. They were called the audience. And they would sit, because in my day, you could either stand or sit down. That's the way that the human body was constructed.
Sure.
And humans back then had two legs and two arms, and they would breathe oxygen.
And then a story about Margaret Dumont, and then you go to a commercial.
Margaret Dumont. Some people called her Margaret because that was her first name. Back in my day, people would have two names. They'd have their first name
and then the last name. Sure.
And sometimes they would call you just by your first name if they were friends.
Sure, of course, that makes sense.
And if they weren't friends,
What would they do?
They'd call you by your last name.
That makes sense.
Sir, we ran out of time for your Hedy Lamarr story.
No, don't. Now, in the documentary Gilbert, you pull off what I consider to be the most obscure impression I've ever seen. You're talking to a small child, and you say to the small child,
"Yes, that's
have you
being
seen
used caught now." That
this
me
is brilliant.
Talking to a small child.
Have you seen my John MacGyver impression?
Yes.
John MacGyver.
Do you know who John MacGyver is?
From Fitzwillie, was it?
He was He was in every movie in the 1960s.
Yeah, Fitzwillie with Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
Yeah. And he had a Twilight Zone episode.
Yes, he
everything
did.
Everything in the 60s.
But you decide during this documentary that you're going to share this impression with a small child.
Yes, John MacGyver.
I thought the young crowd.
They love John MacGyver.
The ones who love John. He's like Justin Bieber to them.
Kids love John MacGyver.
And so John MacGyver, he would usually play like a hotel matron, hotel manager, or someone in charge.
Right.
And you go, everything must be run according to schedule. We will have no slackers in this company. I run a tight ship, and I am captain of the ship.
But the child's reaction is so priceless because you know when you do it, it's risky. Maybe the child will love this impression of John MacGyver and maybe not, but the kid just looks at you like, what?
Yeah.
I love that.
And then the kid says, oh, yes, John MacGyver.
Oh, yeah, John MacGyver.
Yeah.
And then the kid surprised me and goes, do you do Joe Flynn? That was amazing.
Could you do an Edward Andrews?
That would mean the world to me. Gilbert Gottfried is here. He's performing at Zany's in Chicago and in Rosemont tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. A bunch of shows. Go see Gilbert Gottfried. We'll give you more ticket information in just a little bit. I want to talk about your podcast and other things. Yeah. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy with Gilbert Gottfried on WGN.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what
Still laugh. It's Harry Tynowitz in for Wendy. Wendy's back tomorrow. Our guest is the great Gilbert Gottfried, performing at Zany's in Chicago and in Rosemont tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Go to zanies.com. All the information is there. Please plug your podcast. I want people to be aware of these.
Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast. And we had two members of Fitzwillie.
Dick Van Dyke.
More Fitzwillie talk, please.
Dick Van Dyke and Barbara Feldon.
You had Barbara Feldon on.
Yes.
Comedy legends. I mean, those are TV legends. So Dick Van Dyke, I grew up with Dick Van Dyke. Everybody did, right? Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith. What was he like?
Dick Van Dyke was great. He said he and another podcast guest, Orson Bean.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Game shows.
They were like friends when they were struggling actors.
Yes.
And they, for entertainment, they didn't have money to go to the movies or stuff. They would go to the zoo where there was a masturbating chimpanzee.
Yes.
He used to smoke a cigar and masturbate.
Yes.
All day.
That's funny. That's a fun day at the zoo.
So. So what more do you need? And that masturbating monkey was...
Who did he turn out to be? Today he runs Paramount Pictures. You had Marty Allen on. We just lost Marty Allen a month ago, and I know he was a guest of yours, right?
Yeah, and they... Yeah, because he was in that team of Allen and Ross.
Sure.
Who were like, you know, the poor man's Martin and Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
And his catchphrase, you know, they'd always have Rossi would usually play a reporter in the sketch.
Yeah.
And he'd go, "We're talking to the astronaut who just walked on the moon."
Yeah.
And they go, "Astronaut Johnson," and he'd go, "Hello there."
The crowd would go nuts.
Yeah, yes.
Just in those two words, "Hello there," that would knock people out back
and
then.
And I just recently, I was on a show and I had never heard this. Maybe somebody could find it here. There was an opening song that Alan and Rossi
their
had.
Theme song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where
was it? Heavy piano music? Am I thinking of the right song?
There was piano, kind of like, almost like a mambo beat.
Oh, maybe it's a different song.
And it was like, "Hello there, hello there, hello there. Everybody wants to say hello there."
Bill, you're thinking of Martini and Rossi.
I'm thinking of Martini and Rossi, Oscar Spumante. That's what I'm thinking of. Oh, wow. I have to ask you Wendy's question. She's not here today, but here's what she wanted to know. She said, "I'm sure he gets this all the time."
She wants to know how many Jewish Bond girls.
That's her question. Okay. How many have there been, Gilbert? How many Jewish Bond?
Barbara Bach.
One.
Who's now married to Ringo Starr.
Right.
My friend.
So she was a Bond girl.
Honor Blackman?
Was
she?
Honored Blackman one of the tribe?
The name,
that
maybe.
That could be.
Possibly. All right,
that
who else?
Could be.
Who else?
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, right.
Yeah, and her father was a doctor to top it off.
Yes, yes.
Now, was Tanya Roberts a Bond girl?
Tanya Roberts
was a Charlie's Angel.
Girl.
She was a Charlie's Angel.
She was also a Bond girl, though. Yeah.
So that's three Jewish Bond girls.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Three. How many Jewish villains?
Oh, okay.
See if you can do this.
Dr. Oi.
I can name two.
Dr. Oi.
The most obvious one, Joseph Weissman.
Dr. No.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, a doctor.
And a trick one.
Yes.
In there is I heard Yaphet Kotto.
Yaphet Kotto is.
Yeah. Yaphet Kotto's
real name was Kotoberg.
Yeah.
Wow. So we are heavily represented in the world of James Bond.
And it's kind of like Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah. Right. Jasmine, our producer, has a surprise for you, Gilbert. Okay. Listen to this. Uh-oh. Listen to this.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. Everywhere we go we say, hello there. Hello there, hello there, hello there.
This is beautiful.
It's great.
Now, that's the old version. Jasmine, play the Maroon 5 version. Wait till you hear this. You're going to love the Maroon 5 version. So Wendy's question.
It's got everything.
A little bit of everything.
It's got that great Vegas beat.
Yeah, doesn't it?
The great 70s TV beat. And with a little bit of mambo in there.
Just tossed in.
Try not tapping your foot to that.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah. Hello There theme.
Yeah, it's kind of like mambo in the way of Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, very much so. Yes. Very much so. All right, so Wendy wanted to know, and I want to know, when you see this documentary, they show Dara, your wife, and they show your kids, and I get, you probably get this every day, but people say, I'm surprised that Gilbert's wife is Dara, and I'm surprised his kids are Gilbert's kids. But you yourself in the documentary, you even say, you walk around your apartment going, I can't believe this is my life.
Yes. I say it a few times. It's like, I always feel like I'm walking around the Twilight Zone episode.
Really?
When I'm at home. Because, well, one thing is furniture matching. I never had that growing up. I remember there'd be like this broken down, the dining room table was a beat up table, and not one chair matched the other chair.
Really?
There was no such a thing as a set of knives and forks or a set. No two plates matched.
Yeah.
No spoon and fork match.
Yeah.
No glasses or cups.
But and now you have all that.
Yeah. And the
furniture. And a great family.
Yeah. The furniture looked like, oh, well, this one, I think some dead uncle, we took this chair from, and some other chair we found in the street.
Yeah.
Hey, when I was a single guy, my favorite word was eclectic.
Right.
Well, what's with your apartment?
It's eclectic. A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I know everybody tells you that their kids love you from Aladdin, and we watched Aladdin 1,000 times, but my kids also love you as Digit on Cyber Chase. You must have this whole young following of kids that know you as these animated birds.
Yeah. Those, and that, you know, Cyber Chase is a weird case. It's a show on PBS. And on there, it's like so many times where I'll record and then years will pass. And then they'll call me again, and say, are you available this Tuesday? Because it's like, it's PBS. So it's basically, they smash their piggy bank
right
after a few years and go, we've got enough money for another
show. What's wrong with that? They pace themselves.
It's always like a surprise present.
My jokes are like that. I'll say one today and then like wait a year and a half. Yeah,
that's how it works. I love seeing you. You're the best, Gilbert, and I wish you nothing but the best, both in Chicago and wherever you go. Go see Gilbert at Zanies tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Zanies.com has all the information. Anything else you want to plug before we close off?
My website's gilbertgottfried.com.
Yeah.
My Twitter is at RealGilbert. And can I be played off with Hello There?
Yeah. Jazz, is that possible? Gilbert asked one simple thing. Can he be played off with that song, Hello There? It would mean the world to him. This should be your ringer on your cell phone when people call you. It's Gilbert Gottfried, everybody. Go see him at Zanies. He's the best. Thank you, Gilbert. Greatly appreciated. A quick break and then more of us, Bill and Harry on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. She will return tomorrow. Again, a quick thanks to our friend Gilbert Gottfried, who only comes by about once a year. We talked to him on the phone from time
to
time.
Like Santa.
He is, Harry, yes, the same visiting pattern as Santa Claus.
He also had a bag of toys.
Yes, he did. You just said something that I so totally understand and agree with, and I'm paraphrasing you from a moment ago, but you said something to the effect of, it's so nice when one of these guys that you've always idolized, when you meet them,
that they're even cooler in person.
Isn't he?
He was so cool. And he was friendly with everybody. We had a young DePaul kid in here that's interested in radio. He was friendly with him. And one of the other producers came in here and he was happy to get up and take a picture. And, you know, you always, when you get like, you know, we're very lucky and we have gotten to meet a lot of people in radio. And when you get somebody who you really care about, you know, you just hope they're not a jerk.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yes.
Because I know you've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one pro example and one con example. Give me somebody that you met, maybe you interviewed, you had as a guest on the show, and they just exceeded your expectations. And then give me the flip side, somebody that disappointed you.
Okay. Hugh Jackman was so cool.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Hugh Jackman was great.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He was terrific. And I just couldn't. You know, I couldn't believe how friendly he was. He brought us up to his level. He didn't talk down to us.
Nice.
He made your motion picture star.
Yeah.
I mean, I went home and watched Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how much I liked Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And if I had to find I wouldn't have to leave to I wouldn't have to leave Chicago.
Somebody local was a disappointment.
Was a little he had like an entourage. And I didn't think he was, like, entourage worthy.
Are you going to be able to say the name, or is it better that you're not?
I don't have a problem if I say it. Maybe I just got him on a bad day the two times that he was like this.
Oh.
But
a sports person?
No, not a sports person.
Somebody from the world of
From the world of comedy.
Show business?
Yeah, business. Somebody, we'll just say his last name rhymes with Trelucci.
James Belushi.
Yes.
Was not nice to you.
He was not nice to anybody.
Oh, really?
He was like, people were coming up to him and talking to him and wanting to know stuff. And he's like,
oh, no.
I've got a gig. He had a gig at the House of Blues, and he wanted to get in character or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of surprising because I had seen him. I was actually on an audition with him like in the late
70s. Yeah, and he was nicer
then. He was hysterical. He was like one of the – because people are all nervous on auditions, and he was like, great. Jim Belushi was so cool.
Yeah.
And but the two times that I've been involved with him on the radio, not that great. What about you, Bill? Do you have an example of someone who was exceedingly cool and then someone who disappointed?
I would say more times than not.
And don't use Wendy for either answer.
Oh, then I can't answer the question now. You've changed my way of thinking. More times than not, the celebrities that we've had come through here, and I've worked with Wendy both at this station and two other stations,
mm-hmm.
and I've done it on my own several times. They're almost always as good, if not better, than I hoped. There's too many to mention that just came in and just really impressed me by how nice they were and how much fun they were. On the negative side, the one that always comes to mind, there's one from the world of music. Todd Rundgren was just an absolute jerk.
What?
Todd Rundgren.
Come on.
Yeah.
Utopia?
Just a jerk.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
But the one that made me the saddest was Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman. I couldn't wait to meet him. And I just went, this is going to be heavenly
he's
to talk
brilliant.
To Paul Rubens.
Right, because the Pee Wee, obviously Pee Wee's a character.
Yeah. And, yeah. But he did not want to talk. He did not want to play. He
why
did not want to have fun.
And that's all we ask as radio hosts, co-hosts, is just be a willing participant.
This was at the Park West. He was kind of on the uptake. He was just starting to become a household name. He had a special that was running on HBO. It was a forerunner to his kid show, Pee Wee's Playhouse. Uh-huh. It was a stage version of that. And a friend of mine worked for the record company that was putting out the album version of that, so we got to go backstage. And I was just so excited. The show was really funny. He was hysterical. And then we were told, you guys will have 5 to 10 minutes with Mr. Rubens, and that was fine. And everything that we said, he was just mean, you know? And it was like finding out that there was no Easter Bunny or something. It was like, wait, how can you be like that? How can you be this mean?
Right. Get a hold of your bad self.
I knew he was from Florida, and I didn't know where in Florida, but I've spent a lot of time in Florida. So I said, Paul, I know you grew up in Florida, spent some time. Where in Florida? And he goes, it's a small town. You've never heard of it. And I go, well, just can you tell me the name? He goes, no, why bother? Because you'll pretend you know what it is, and you don't know where it is and stuff. And it was that's how the 5 minutes went.
Which?
No matter what was said, he deflected it, and he was just, I don't know.
Can we swear on the stream?
Yeah, on the stream you can.
Too
not
bad
here.
We're not talking about it. Thank you for telling me.
I'll bring it back up later.
Yeah, you know, there's several, you know, I did a show for a long time in this town with Mac and Yurko, and Mac and I didn't always get along, but he said so many things that were just turned out to be really intelligent.
Yeah.
One thing he told me is don't meet your heroes.
But isn't that sad? Think about those words. Don't meet your heroes. That's who you want to meet them. You want to tell them you're your hero.
Right. And there are, and of course, there are many, many exceptions. Dennis Savard is awesome.
Yeah.
Dennis Savard is, I mean, one of the greatest skaters, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Blackhawks ever. They retired 18 for him. Dennis Savard is super cool, and he's super cool to anybody in the restaurant or anybody in the bar. I love Savvy. But then there's other people that I've met, you know, one of the greatest Bears ever, one of the greatest Blackhawks ever. I've actually got two Bears. They both played offense. And it's just, oh, my God, don't be this way.
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what's surprising is on several occasions we've had guys on that are, quote, unquote, tough guys. They play tough guys. Uh-huh. You know who Danny Trejo is, right?
Oh, yeah, he's great.
You look at him and you go, if I was walking down the street and that guy was walking towards me, I would do everything in my power to go to the other side of the street.
He's, for people that aren't sure who he is, he's in that Snickers commercial where he's Jan Brady.
Right.
Yeah.
He was in the Machete movies.
Oh, so great.
He's
Modern Family.
Modern Family. Okay, so put him on the shelf for a second. Do you know who Michael Rooker is?
Yeah, Michael Rooker's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy, Walking Dead.
Right. He's like the blue guy. He's the dad.
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
All right. So both of those guys, I'm excited to meet, but I go, but these are tough guys. You know, don't mess around with these guys because they could break me. They could just bend me and break me. Both of those guys are like the most warm, cool, fun-loving. I said to Michael Rooker, he goes, what are we going to talk about? He comes in, what do you want to talk about? I go, well, I know that you collect Cabbage Patch Dolls, so let's talk about that. He goes, I'll talk about Cabbage Patch Dolls with you all day long. I love Cabbage Patch Dolls. And I go, what universe is this where Michael Rooker not only knows what they are, but wants to talk about them on the radio?
That is great.
Yeah.
That is spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're surprised pleasantly,
right.
But then other times, Todd Rundgren, you have somebody on and you go, why do you have to be this way?
Well, you know, if you're a great Chicago Bears running back,
yes,
and you can't acknowledge that Walter Payton was the greatest Chicago Bears running back, Walter Payton is probably the greatest Chicago Bear. You have to say either Payton or Butkus, okay?
Yeah.
And you don't have to say that, but you can say Kevin Butler because he's awfully cool.
Mm-hmm.
But Walter Payton is the greatest, maybe one of the greatest football players ever.
Agreed.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
And Gale Sayers didn't want to acknowledge him, didn't want to acknowledge that. And, like, I don't know how you can
Is there some jealousy factor? Is that what that's based on?
I don't have a degree. I mean, I do have a degree. yes. It starts out the
Black
same
belt.
As yours. Yeah, yes. Yes. Taekwondo.
Yes.
But
I would have gone jujitsu, but that's your call.
Oh, see, that's why you're you and I'm me. Jujitsu.
Write it down.
Yes. Would you like a juju bee? Gale Sayers was just like anti-Walter Payton.
How can anyone be anti-Walter Payton, much less a guy who did this for a living and knows how tough that is?
But it's insanity.
Yeah.
And you know,
can't call him out on it because he's Gale Sayers, right?
Yeah. Gale Sayers, 6 touchdowns one game.
I know.
I mean, Gale Sayers was a spectacular player and a Kansas Jayhawk. You know,
how about that?
Right. I love
your own
Jayhawks.
School.
Yeah.
I know.
And I met him when I was a teenager going to Kansas.
Yeah.
And we were at a place like to get autographs, and he would not sign an autograph. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. The there was this guy Joe Kelman who had this charity, the Better Boys Foundation, out in Lawndale, and the Better Boys Foundation did so many great things, and they gave out the NFL awards at this dinner.
Yeah.
And Buddy Hackett would host it, and all these great football players were there, and you would get footballs, and part of the deal was, you know, you the money would be all go to Better Boys Foundation, and then you would get to meet these great football players and they'd sign your football. And I went right to, so all the current players are signing, and Gale Sayers had retired, and I went up to him, and I said, Gale, could I please have your autograph? And he goes, no. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to be a freshman at Kansas in the fall. He goes, good for you.
Wow.
And the next time, the next time I had a conversation with him was like in the 90s, and he wouldn't give Walter Payton. He wouldn't acknowledge Walter as the greatest
Bear. That's awful. That's so sad. Let's do this. We must take a break. Harry Tynowitz is here. He's say, meet Harry at some point. You won't be disappointed. I've never been. A couple times. A few times. Harry's sitting in for Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. That's our phone line and our text line. More after this. It's WGN. It's Bill Laff. It's my friend Harry Tynowitz sitting right over there. He's filling in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will return tomorrow. Harry, you had what could be a fantastic idea or something that'll just crash and burn. I don't know. It could go either way.
Yes.
Please explain on this International Women's Day.
Mac and cheese for breakfast. Just try it before you laugh.
See if it works.
This would require, you know, you guys being secure in your masculinity, but we'd like to ask the men, the guys, kids, teenagers, gentlemen, elderly, any guy out there, if you could be any woman for a day, what woman would you want to be?
Now, what do you think it should be based upon? Because my mind is all over the place with this. Should it be somebody that you admire? Should it be somebody that you just think, I'd be good as that? What's your criteria for selection?
No, well, I mean, people will get there, you know, it's like whatever route you take, as long as you get there is cool. But I would say what you shouldn't do is like pick the girl, you know, the movie star you've always had like a crush on.
Right.
You know, I spent the better part of my teenage years, craving Farrah Fawcett.
Yes.
And that would be a horrible choice. And it could be someone who has passed.
Yeah. But throughout time. It could be Joan of Arc.
Right.
But it could also be a contemporary. It could be somebody who's working in any show business or sports or whatever you want today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It could be anybody in any field.
Are you okay to open this up to callers and texters?
Oh, yes. And I know we have prizes.
Are there prizes?
Oh, there's prizes. It's not a Bill and Wendy show if there's not prizes.
All right, what do you want to give somebody?
Oh, I think we've got a couple things. We've got a $50 gift certificate to the Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day.
So let's go with that one. Let's say, and I'm going to let you be. This is your idea. This is your brainstorm. So you be the judge. You decide who gets this. You'll listen to a bunch and decide which is the most valid.
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
Sure.
312-981-7200. Again, Harry, the qualifications, the criteria is what exactly?
It's
if you, only you for men.
Be, yeah, it's only for men
on this International Women's Day.
Sorry, we don't mean to be on a day when we are, you know, and every day we should be praising and respecting women. It's all about equality.
Agreed.
And today we're just asking the men on International Women's Day, if you could be any woman for a day, who would you want to be? And, you know, I'm just basing it on, you know, people I admire.
Yes.
People who have made significant contributions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be as simple as, you like this person. On Rhea Perlman was always funny on Cheers.
Do you think a lot of people will choose Rhea Perlman?
I'm not sure Danny DeVito will choose Rhea Perlman.
I don't know that he will.
But I mean, it could be someone who's incredibly significant. George Clooney's wife. What's her name? You will know
Mrs. Clooney. But she's done a lot of
she's done so many things
work.
For humanity,
right.
And she goes out of her way to help people. So, I mean, you could choose something like that.
All right.
I would think Oprah is a popular choice.
I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
several texters are saying Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Why not?
Rocks.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama rocks.
What about Sherry Lewis?
And Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop Bill, let me tell you something.
Yeah. Chance of that? All right.
Find a better puppeteer. Find a better storyteller than Sherry Lewis.
You won't. Good luck to you. All right. The phone lines are filling up right now. 312-981-7200. Again, you can win a nice gift certificate, right?
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
Our prize.
Yeah. $50 gift certificate to the Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day.
Harry's the judge. You have to, it's Judge Harry. It's like Judge Judy.
So you could pick Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. She's very rich.
She's very,
very rich,
rich. And she gets a gavel.
Yeah. So you'll give extra points if somebody's woman that they choose has a gavel?
Yeah, or wears a robe.
Interesting. All right, let's go to the phone lines. This particular contest for International Women's Day is men only. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, hi. You know the rules Harry has set forth. If you were a woman, which woman would you want to be on this International Women's Day? Uh-oh, we're not getting him. Hold on a second. There
Jim?
Jim?
Yes.
There you are.
Hello.
Which woman would you be, Jim?
If. And that's a big if. I was going to be Allison Janney.
Allison Janney, recent Oscar winner, Allison Janney.
Right.
How come? Any special reason?
Well, because I've known her stuff that she's been doing for a long time. I really like the mom show because I'm an addict myself and been sober for 6 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Way to go, Jim. Keep coming back.
That's excellent news. Yes. All right.
And she's got a beautiful smile. I like her attitude. I think she's an all-around good person. The way she, handles herself, tall, just right up in front.
All right.
I like that.
That's solid.
She's a true person.
We accept all that.
Yes, the West Wing. She's great in the Kevin Spacey movie, with the military. He lives next to the...
A Few Good Men?
No. I can't remember it. No, come on. With the roses, he's... The roses coming out of the young blonde girl.
American Beauty?
American Beauty, thank you.
American Beauty, that's it. I was thinking of it.
All right, Jim, stay on the line. Or actually, sure. we have your information, right? We have your number. If you win, we'll get you that prize. But good call, Allison Janney. Thanks so much.
Okay.
We'll put you on hold. Put him on hold.
Okay. Yeah. All right. He's on hold. All right, let's go to somebody else. Let's talk to Joe and see who his choice is. Joe, you can be any woman throughout history on this International Women's Day. This is Harry's bit. Let's see if you can impress Harry. Which woman would you be?
I'd be Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, because?
Who doesn't like Marilyn Monroe? She went to president.
Yes.
She was glamorous. She was gorgeous.
Yes.
And she's been dead for 30 years, and people still love her.
Marilyn Monroe.
What's more to?
Interesting call. All right.
Yeah, she was with Joe DiMaggio, of course.
Mr. Coffee.
Right. Absolutely. She was Mrs. Coffee. And then JFK, he mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And the iconic shot of her standing over the...
The transom.
Yeah. The transom?
I don't know. All right. Well, thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Good call.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got him on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get another one in. Hold on a second. Dan, can you hear me? Hold on. Dan, is that you?
This is Dan.
Hi, Dan. It's International Women's Day. We're all celebrating in our own special way. Harry's idea was impress him by telling us which woman would you be if you were a woman. Who would you be?
Fuente, Marilyn Chambers.
Marilyn Chambers, the adult film star.
Very interesting call.
Yes.
Because why?
She's very educational.
Yeah.
Right. She didn't wear a robe.
Right. Right. That's so true also. All right. And she didn't have any lawsuit against any president ever in her whole career as an adult film star. That just never happened.
No, she didn't. She kind of went down the straight and narrow. You know?
Yes, she did.
She did a lot of inside jokes.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Harry will choose a winner.
Funny, Dan.
All right, stay on hold.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if that would be worthy for us to...
We're out of time, Harry, so please select a winner for this International Women's Day prize.
Out of those three?
Yes.
Well, the Marilyn Chambers guy made me laugh, but Allison Janney, I think, is a fine choice. But, Marilyn Monroe, very significant, mm-hmm. and Scott Bakula played her on an episode of Quantum Leap.
That's Joe, who wanted to be Marilyn Monroe.
Joe,
he will be our winner, then?
Yes.
He gets a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. Try outlet prices every day. Congratulations, Joe. We will get you a prize.
And I want
to
know who Dean would be.
We can ask Dean Richards next. All right. We'll do that in a little bit. We've got news. And then, Dean, stick around. It's Bill and Terry in for Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
Dean, how are you?
Bill.
How are you, Dean Richards? Everything good?
I'm fine, thank you. Wendy sounds a little hoarse today.
Wendy is a little hoarse.
It's all those years of cigarettes.
Harry Tynowitz, of course, filling in.
I want to be a woman.
That's right.
It is International Women's Day.
Yes, so happy International Women's Day. Yeah. Harry has a question for you, Dean.
Dean, you've met so many significant women that have made contributions to the entertainment world and other aspects of society. If you could be any woman for one day, what woman would you be?
I heard you ask that before the break, so I've been thinking about it. Hmm. And it's hard to pick one. Because I heard you say Michelle Obama. That came to my mind immediately. So I'm between her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw Oprah into the mix.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I would not have thought of that. Interesting.
And Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
She was on the field 8888.
Yeah.
She gave Rhino a big wet one.
No, wow. Like, I don't know.
Good calls, like, all of them.
I don't think about it often.
You were the brains behind that whole Morgana thing.
Yeah. Dean, we've had almost a week now to digest the 90th Academy Awards. What will you go away with thinking about this year's presentation? I know I heard you say it was an enjoyable evening, and it was.
Yeah.
But now that a couple of days have passed, when you think about it, what comes to mind?
I still think it was a very pleasant event.
Yeah.
I was very entertained by Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
As always, you hear mixed reviews from whoever hosts it every single year. But I was very pleased with Jimmy Kimmel. I thought it was fine. I didn't think the show was a big drag.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd take away from it is how polarizing it is for some people. That really surprised me. And I think that this award shows in general now have become these extremely polarizing events, politically polarizing events, because the president doesn't like them. You know, certain people don't like the Hollywood types that, you know, talk about politics, which really, I thought there was really relatively few,
very few
political statements that were made during the show. It was
right.
Mostly about, you know, empowerment of women, of equal rights, of treating people fairly. Who would be against that?
Yeah.
Who, I mean, no matter what political side you're on, whether you're conservative or a liberal, who is against equal rights for everyone, of treating people fairly? That just seems like basic human rights for me. And that was, you know, if you're going to say politics, that really that's what, you know, most of the quote politics on the show was. I don't have one bit of problem with that. Mm-hmm. I don't have one bit of problem with celebrities talking about those things. They are Americans, too. They have the right of free speech as well. And they happen to have this public forum because they're famous, you know, whether you like it or not. Famous people have a forum to, you know, to talk about things. Nobody says you have to agree with them. I guess that's the biggest thing that I take out of this whole thing.
Dean, like a 4th of July fireworks show, the Oscars always save the best for last. You start out with either the best supporting actor or best supporting actress. Then you have a bunch of awards. I don't mean to demean anybody, but they have that lunch or that dinner a week earlier where they give out some of the awards to people that aren't so popular. Is there a way to make the show more entertaining by either limiting the awards we see or bringing some of those awards that they give out at the end earlier into the telecast?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think they want to give away the big awards too early in the show, because then, I mean, they want to,
sure,
they want to keep people watching. I think that they can get rid of a lot of the fluff that's in the show, and I don't think there was that much fluff in the show this year at all. The you know, awards for cinematography, for screenwriting, for, you know, some of the lesser awards, I guess you might call them, that doesn't bother me. That takes, like, what, 3-4 minutes per award? That's not that big of a deal to me. And the Oscars, they don't give away some awards at the luncheons that take place.
There's a technical awards dinner, right?
I don't think for the Oscars there.
Oh, there isn't?
There
I thought they did.
They do for the Grammys do that,
mm-hmm,
and I think the Emmys do that. But the awards that you see for the Academy Awards are,
that's it,
are the actual awards.
There's 24 categories. I counted the other night. There's 24 categories. So that in and of itself, just to say who's nominated and show a clip or two, that's going to eat up a lot of time. And I heard so many people say, oh, Jimmy Kimmel came out at the beginning and he said to people, hey, watch it on the time. We don't want it to go long. And then he did his comedy bit. But if you don't do those, then people go, oh, it's just people getting awards, and I don't know who
it's
those people are.
It's kind of boring. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If I was going to change anything, you know, I would, and they do this already, but nobody pays attention. They ask people to, you know, to speak from the heart for their acceptance speeches. Instead of reading long lists of names that people out of the industry have no idea what you're talking about, if you're going to give a speech like that, just come up and say thank you. And leave.
Right.
There's no need to, you know, stay up there the whole time. You know, the speeches should come from the heart. I loved the montages this year, especially. They did lots of montages saluting you know, classic cinema.
Yeah.
I thought those were especially beautiful this year.
And Dean, I'm sure you noticed this, but they always there's a line in those. There's a string. They follow some sort of a storyline almost. You know, when one character from a 1947 movie says something, a character from a 1983 movie answers what he just said. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I think that's enjoyable.
It's very craftfully done. That's incredibly difficult to you know, put that kind of continuity to montages like that, and then have the whole thing make sense as a whole,
right?
Of a lovely tribute toward someone. So, you know, I don't want to be an apologist for the show. I mean, the ratings were down 20%.
It's considerable.
That says something. But I you know, again. I've got excuses, a bag full of excuses, you know, for things. You know, part of it is that some people, you know, the people who are, you know, feel like that Hollywood is so liberal and that Hollywood, they don't want to hear political speeches. They just don't watch. And, you know, that's fine. That's everyone's prerogative to watch or not watch. But I think there are a couple of things. When you are comparing 26.5 million people watching a single television event,
it's big.
Is nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
And that does not include the 225 other countries where the Academy Awards are viewed. That's not included in the 26.5. So it's still an enormously huge audience.
Yeah.
You compare it to years past, the ratings have been down, just like television ratings in general have been down, because there are so many other viewing options on online platforms right now. People are watching and getting the results of the Oscars without actually watching the show.
Right.
Because they're being, you know, the results are being tweeted out. So they're finding out what's happening without actually watching the show anymore. You don't really have to do that. It's the same thing with the Super Bowl. It's the same thing with Grammys, Golden Globes, all the award shows,
your big events,
all the big television events, the Olympics. Ratings are down for everything right now because
other options.
People are watching in different ways other than turning on their television sets in the past. So, you know, that's different. Wouldn't be such a bad idea if there were more motion pictures that were what you might call mainstream motion pictures instead of art pictures,
right?
Where a woman falls in love with a sea creature when you've got Wonder Woman.
Right.
That was one of the most phenomenal movies of the year that got virtually no Academy Award attention.
Dean, I got to take a break. All true. Everything you said is true. Every syllable you just said is true. Dean Richards has some movies to tell you about that are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tynowitz. It's Harry sitting in for Wendy. And our guest is our friend Dean Richards, entertainment reporter for WGN-TV. Dean, we don't have a whole lot of time, but let's get through a couple of these movies that are opening this weekend. A Wrinkle in Time is the biggest of them. You didn't like it, did you?
I was not crazy about A Wrinkle in Time, I'm afraid. I had such high hopes for this because it's directed by Ava DuVernay, who directed Selma. I think she's an incredibly talented and very creative director. It stars Oprah Winfrey. Sadly, they could not get Morgana the Kissing Bandit as part of this cast. I know they tried very, very hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Witherspoon's in the movie, Mindy Kaling, Zach Galifianakis. And it's a fantastic, I guess, what you might call sort of a magical fantasy of a story of a little girl whose father goes missing. And suddenly these three celestial beings appear in their backyard, Oprah, Reese Witherspoon, and Mindy Kaling, to help her search the universe for her lost parents. So they, you know, off they go on this fantastic adventure. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Wizard of Oz in the beginning, as, you know, a young girl is going off on this search. Not nearly as compelling, not nearly as entertaining as Wizard of Oz. But the main part of this story, this is based on a very popular and classic novel about a little girl not only in search of her lost parent, but also in search of her own self-identity and self-love. This movie does deliver that, but in such an awkward fashion. There are enormous holes in the story of things that just don't make sense, how they get from point A to point B, and there's no logic whatsoever for many of those things that happen. And I just got lost in the story. Not lost like I didn't understand it. Lost like
hard to follow the storyline.
What's going on? So it's beautiful. It is a, it's a very, very, very beautiful. But ultimately, this movie wound up feeling like an Oprah special about New Age spirituality. Oh, no.
You mentioned Selma. David Oyelowo and Charlize Theron are in Gringo. What can you tell us about Gringo?
Gringo, I'm actually going to see tonight. I have not seen that one yet. So tomorrow I'll have some more details on that. The Oprah movie, Wrinkle in Time, by the way, I gave Dean's List C+. Yeah, but right. We do have also for a little choice this weekend, a horror movie called The Strangers Prey at Night, P-R-E-Y, at night. You know, like the they're trying to, you know, be
hunted
down. Get it? This is maybe one of the most predictable and boring horror movies that I've ever seen. This family stops at a mobile home park to visit some relatives. They find the whole place deserted and do every stupid thing that you wouldn't do if you were in a deserted mobile home park and you're finding bloody bodies all over the place.
Do they split up at some point? Dean, tell me they split up at some point.
They do split up.
Oh, that's a good
They
move.
Do split up. And when something's going on, instead of going, let's get the hell out of here, they go, wait a minute, I'm going to go into that room. It's like every stupid
that's
decision
what you would
that
do?
Can be made. Right.
What's your Dean's List on Prey at Night?
Dean's List D on this one. It's awful.
Awful.
Thank goodness it's only an hour and 25 minutes. Helen Mirren and Donald Sutherland have kind of a charming movie called The Leisure Seeker. They're a longtime married couple who chuck everything, go on a road trip. It's a little, movie's a little bit predictable, but it's so wonderful to see these two expert actors at work, and they bring the C-plus that I gave The Leisure Seeker.
Well, Dean, thank you for everything you do, not just today, but every day.
You always mean in life in general.
Yeah, for life in general. And things you'll do for us in the future, I want to thank you.
I'm especially proud. I made an exceptionally good turkey sandwich.
Oh, you did?
This morning.
Excellent.
Mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
Mayonnaise. Yeah, always.
Dean's
always.
List on the sandwich?
I'm Dean's List A on the...
Dean's List A on the sandwich.
Here's my secret. Here's my secret.
Yeah?
You get the bread and butter pickles that they sell already sliced.
Sure.
And I put those in the sandwich for a nice little crunch.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Very delicious.
That's the way to play it.
Nice
Dean, thank you.
Man's a genius.
I'm not done with the recipe. Bill's giving me the bonus.
We have that.
Then.
You don't want to get Steve Bertrand mad. You know that.
I did yesterday.
I know. All right. Not 2 days in a row.
I don't want to do it again.
Dean, have a great weekend.
See
thanks so much. That's Dean Richards, everybody. We will. Oh, go on, Harry.
Bill, I met a guy a couple months ago who just loves you. And my friend Steve Vinci, his in-laws, listen, Len and Dorothy show or listen to Bill and Wendy show every day.
Hello, guys.
So
thank you for listening.
Len and Dorothy. Bill just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, I do. We all do. All right.
Yeah, and Steve wanted to say you're cutting into his time.
We will talk to Steve next. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.